Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for Monday, the 7th of July, 2025. I know it's Monday, and it's not like we've got any good news, because nothing good ever happens in this country. But I'm joined by Luca and Stephen, and we're still gonna make the best of a bad situation.
Fellow bad news presenters.
Yeah.
But look, we are the good news. All right. We are the good news.
But, honestly, I'm being a bit unfair there, because honestly, I think this, what's happening in the European Union is actually good news.
Yeah.
But obviously, what's happening here isn't. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about the immigration wars that are racking Europe at the moment. Britain now has pro-grooming gang protests, which... No. Don't pretend this wasn't inevitable.
No.
Right?
No.
The community is as the community is, and they know what they were doing. And we're going to be talking about the darkness that is spreading across the British state with regards to the pro-Palestine protests. Because as much as I don't like these people... where we're going with this is just completely wrong. Anyway, without further ado, let's crack on.
Immigration wars, definitely not physically us, you know, countries invading us to give us more immigrants by the country, but allowing their citizens to come in, has now reached to a level where internally the European Union is actually beginning to fracture on the ideas of immigration. And I think that we're seeing a big division over the last few years politically, but now I think nationally. And the announcement today, this morning, I think it was early in the mornings, as you can see here from the Visegrad breaking 50 minutes ago, but that was obviously when I put it up, was actually really, really surprising in some ways that Poland has done this, but actually not surprising in so many others. But what they have done is they've decided that they're going to introduce border controls between Germany and Lithuania, which is literally a prevention of Schengen from working.
I was going to say, what happened to the sacred Schengen
zone? Exactly. This is really...
This is one of the four pillars of free of the European Union, wasn't it?
It is.
Free movement of people, capital, goods and services or something like that.
That's right. And that free movement of labour is beginning to become an issue.
Really?
Because some... I'll come to it in a moment.
If only some plucky Brexiteers had warned them all those years ago, Stephen. If only someone had told them. By the way, that's not tenable.
I'm going to have to pull out one of my videos from the European Parliament and say, will not work, racist. No, this will not work.
Well, who could have imagined?
So it's really quite shocking. And this comes obviously on the board of lots of other things that are happening. What I found fascinating about this is, as I was reading through some of these, you got here from Visegrad, they talk about the army will be sent to the borders.
Before we go on, I just want to make it clear, that's not a picture of it in process, right? I mean, don't get me wrong, I can appreciate the Poles coming out into the streets and cheering for it, but I'm pretty sure that's just a military parade.
I did actually wonder whether at the beginning this was actually the Poles beginning to get onto the borders of Germany. And
right.
It's our turn now.
Yeah. The entirety of Europe just looking like a risk board. Again, packing the troops up.
You under the sun.
So I think this is a good news story, actually, to be honest, because it's really bringing the issue of immigration up into the elites that they can't hide. DW News, the Germans are saying it will impose temporary checks with Germany and Lithuania starting next week. Tusk says the measure is aimed at reducing irregular migrant crossings.
Oh, really? So if Angela Merkel unilaterally allows millions and millions of foreigners to settle in Germany... And you have the Schengen zone. I mean, we said exactly this, like word for word, back in the day. It was so obvious this was going to be a problem, And now we've got to this.
Germany had a massive Turkish problem already. Oh, yeah, huge, huge Turkish problem, which caused enormous amounts of criminality in certain parts of the country that they can't even get control of the gangs that are controlling
the Turks. Integration came so fast, didn't it?
And then suddenly you throw in a whole load of Turks and Kurds, and Syrians and Kurds into there, and that created like lots of divisions between the two of them. And now you've got them seeing trying to move across the border, particularly the Africans, apparently. Mm. And I came down here, someone put in there, it's because you're smuggling migrants like some petty criminals that you are, in fact, are Nord Stream. Because there's a lot of allegations going on in Poland that Germany, since it closed its borders, and I'll come to that, is allowing all those migrants who have come to Germany literally to go across without being checked. Does that remind you of something happening in France to Britain across the Channel?
Yeah, yeah, I could believe it. Again, like Germany took on in a really zealous way the sort of most high-minded liberal values.
Yep.
And they're realizing actually it'd be better to just shuffle these off to other people. I mean, do you remember they were demanding that everyone else take their fair share of Merkel's illegal immigrants? Sorry, my fair share of Merkel's illegals is zero.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want any of these people, so why are they here?
We have to take illegals because of German guilt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's precisely it. I don't feel very much German guilt. Sorry. Sorry,
No, I'm thinking I'm going back to that time because I remember when this was all happening in 2014 and 15 and just millions were literally flowing in. And Merkel did what I termed at the time Merkel's monumental madness. Mm. Is to allow millions of Syrians to come in unchecked. And then we find out they weren't all Syrians by any way. And, you know, they came from Africa, they came from Bangladesh, they're coming in from India.
But they weren't mostly fighting age men, so there's that upside.
So that was great. And then you discover later on that, like, Bertelsmann, the woman who was running Bertelsmann's chain, was the best friend, you know, of Merkel. She was saying it's a great idea to bring them in because German industry needs all of this. We need young men because we've got a population decline.
Any young man.
Just looking at GDP crossing the border.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Incredible.
Yeah, so all those thousands of doctors, scientists, mass engineers that have all been trained highly in Syria's mass manufacturing industries who understood about BMW cars.
Yeah, but the thing that annoys me most about this, right, is if you were Syria, and you were like, oh my God, that's our GDP just leaving. You know, if you're like, you know, Algeria or Morocco or, you know, wherever, you'd be like, oh no, we need to keep all of these people in the country because we need them. Otherwise, our economy is going to collapse. Except the economies of these places didn't collapse. Right? No. They barely changed. In fact, they probably improved because actually what they're doing is offloading their criminals on us. And they knew it. And so they're like, yeah, great, get out. Someone else's problem.
The ones who couldn't work, a few of them did. Obviously, there was always some that, you know, at the top end of the tree. But we always look about 5%. But if you've got 5% of 29 million, it's not really a big enough amount to make an improvement in our GDP, because that's the amount of people that have come into Europe in the last 10 years. So you've got all of this going on. And I kind of think, okay, Poland stopped it. You know, there we are. Germans are turning around and saying it's not a good idea. And the measures are aimed to, according to World War II, did you know? I actually just had to glance through this at a while because some of the pictures are quite funny. It's to stop the transfer of illegal immigrants. So there's a big story going on.
So this is the sort of word on the ground.
The word on the ground is there. And I sent out some messages to former European MEPs from Germany to see if they can provide any of the evidence of that. Also, Peter in Scandinavia is turning around and saying that Poland's stopping the asylum laws as well from being applied, but I haven't seen anything evidentially to prove that. But it does try and go to show that Poland's stepping up. And I know that I was going to do a story on Poland this week because Poland has really got into a way where they're now turning on the Ukrainians in a big way. Not only in the election, but you've seen people's pulling down the Ukrainian flags. They're complaining in areas to stop Ukrainians taking work because Ukrainians are pushing down wages and housing has increased. And there was a mass story of this over the last few weeks that has just really been impacting some of the concerns. And these have come out in the election of the president. And that was between the left wing and the right wing president. So I'm not surprised this is coming in the same way that Germany reacted to AfD. I think this is a reaction to the president being elected who was not a left wing Tuskite. So, but then again, why are the Germans complaining when they did the same in September of last year?
Well, they're complaining because the illegals are causing trouble in Germany, and they want them causing trouble elsewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's literally why they're complaining.
So rather than working as the United Europe that they always said they dreamt of being, yeah. banishing them from the continent itself,
no.
we're just going to pass them around to our neighbours.
Yeah, it's past the immigrant parcel.
Because we're a team.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. And that's how teams work.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's, I'll screw my best player yeah. at the moment who's yeah. got the best GDP
yeah.
because it's better than us by pushing in those who can reduce the GDP. But I looked at this and I thought, this was September. We know why they reduced it last year. Metz was in trouble with the AFD. Mm. They had, oh, just the casual little bit of terrorism killing the German people at events across yeah. the country.
It's the same effect we're having here with Starmer and yeah. Farage, and this is why you get the Island of Strangers
yeah.
Speech mm. that Starmer then walked back on.
He did. Well, Farage has walked back on everything.
Well, yeah,
the weekend,
yeah.
didn't he?
Yeah, as if Farage is.
Yeah, we're not going
to. So someone's saying, "Oh my God, Farage is dragging Starmer to the left."
That's gold. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah, that is brilliant. I've got to admit. But true, I mean, look at Farage. What is he doing this weekend? It's like, no to banning the burqa. No, we can't possibly remove halal because there's just too many here coming in.
Right.
No, we're not going to control the borders in the same way by getting rid. I mean, where does he start? I mean, at the moment, he is beginning to sound worse than Cameron.
He's sounding a lot like Chamberlain. It's like, oh, they're too strong. We can't stop them. Yeah. We have to appease them. It's like, sorry, what century am I in?
Yeah. No to deportations, yeah. no to grooming gang inquiry.
Oh, I don't want mass deportations.
Oh, you know, I don't want any yeah. of that.
I just...
So, you know, Farage might be happy to be in Germany at the moment. So I remember at the time, Germany's now criticising Poland, but the neighbours criticised German move to extend the border. At the time, I think it was the Polish minister, Donald Tusk, denounced as unacceptable the border control.
For anyone who's not aware, Donald Tusk is a sort of ancient creature of the European establishment.
Mm.
Wasn't he president of the, not the commission, but the parliament?
He was president of the parliament and also at one stage president of the Conservatives, the equivalent of the Conservative movement in the European Union, yeah. all of those in there. But what I just found is, look, this is September with Donald Tusk denouncing Germany's extension to temporary controls, and now he's imposing them
yes.
as well. So this goes to show all the kind of crass, yeah. you know, teamwork that you're talking about. But along that, you know, France, Belgium, Netherlands, Luxembourg, they all had a bit of a moan as well.
But you can see that the reality of what they've chosen to do is catching up with them,
mm-hmm.
right? They actually can't keep a lid on all of this.
That's right.
And so it's like, yeah, we're going to have to go to the right no matter what Nigel Farage.
Political survival necessitates yeah. this for them.
100%.
Yeah. And they're just not beginning to pick up where that next stage, and this is part of it. That, you know, when you allow the doors to open in the same way, if you're anything to follow history, you know, we allowed millions of people to move around Europe, and we had a population explosion in the 1300s in the UK that led to masses of people moving into cities. They couldn't feed themselves through droughts, and then came along the Black Plague and wiped out lots of people. But at the time, it wiped out also cows, sheep, and we couldn't feed ourselves. The same was happening across Europe. You looked at Constantinople when they were trying to recover themselves and becoming the Pope was back in there with thinking getting the Holy Roman Empire. And then they allowed the borders to open from the east, overran them and just destroyed them all again. So history at different stages has showed what happens when you get mass populations in huge numbers come into areas. It causes conflict. It causes a real demand on services. And what have we got at the moment? Housing, hospitals, schools.
What do we have at the moment? Well, not services.
Everything's declining. And yet here they are moaning at one another when each is trying to solve the borders. And I think you said we can go in next on that. So, you know, you then have this map, how Germany's borders closes jeopardize the Schengen area. Well, absolutely. Of course it does.
The Schengen area is unworkable liberal dream nonsense. Like, why would you think this is desirable or something we can actually do?
I mean, I just find it really. We've been saying this for a long, long time.
Didn't Keir Starmer just capitulate on the Schengen area with Gibraltar as well?
Yes.
Unbelievable. So Germany's like, and Poland's like, yeah, no Schengen for us, thanks very much. Yeah. And Keir Starmer's like, yeah, no, go ahead.
Well, the issue about that border, which no one's going to pick out at the moment, is that if you are one of these people who's just moving around, let's just say you've come across from the Moroccan side into Spain and you get across, and there's a lot, I mean, people don't talk about that Western Mediterranean route, but it's still thousands, and we might have a picture of it at the end. They can now come all the way down to Spain and cross into Britain. and they will be regarded. They can claim asylum.
They can.
In Gibraltar.
Yeah.
And we've opened the borders.
What stops the Spanish from literally just channeling them down there? Saying, go claim in Britain. They give you loads of benefits because they're a rich country.
In the same way that the Republic of Ireland is doing with Northern Ireland at the moment, which I would close the border and remove all rights to the Irish, from being able to stay. So we've got people like the Jean Monnet Professor of European Law talking about this. And these are people who are funded by the EU. It's testing European unity. I agree. Absolutely. Thank goodness. I don't know why that's come back in there.
I remember about 10 years ago, in fact, leading up to Brexit, I was like, look, I don't think the European Union is actually long for this world. I actually think that it's such an artificial project that any sort of severe strain put on it will actually cause some real issues. And this is one of those sort of under the hood issues.
Yes.
You know, if it was an external issue like Russian invasion, that actually would strengthen the European Union. But this is something completely different. And I think that we're seeing the cracks now.
If I was Russia, I'd leave it alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if I was Putin, I'd turn around and say, you're actually destroying yourself. Because economically, if we looked at 2008 and the financial crisis in which Goldman Sachs effectively persuaded the European Union to use the sacrificial lamb of Greece to destroy a whole generation of people, actually also destroy a generation of people in Spain as well at the same time, but in a different level, they allowed the financial crash. That was a much more existential issue. So they used it as an opportunity to gather more power into themselves, and they thought that would help them issue bonds. Let's do it like a country. But the under-the-hood issue, as you're saying, is this. This is much more significant. And if I was someone like who really wanted to do damage to ourselves, Putin would just ignore it. I'm not going to bother invading Europe. Why would I? Because I don't want this issue. I don't want this.
I've got enough multiculturalism of my own. Thank you very
much. Absolutely. I don't want it.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to run through with this as we're talking about Germany and Poland. There, you've got the hypocrisy of them, one complaining about another when they do it, and now they're complaining where they're doing it. But hang on a minute. Slovenia did it in December, and that went under the radar. How many people were aware that internal borders in Croatia and Hungary were blocked by Slovenia?
Thing is, if the European Union starts making a big deal out of this sort of stuff, then other people start getting it in their mind, oh, this is actually something we can do then. This is something that actually works, is actually good for you. Yep. And actually one of those immutable pillars of the European Union that we heard about so much during the Brexit negotiations, well, actually it's not so immutable.
Yep.
Actually, it's not so timeless and eternal.
And I you've just picked up on something I'm going to go to in a moment. So I'm just going to whip through these here. To talk about Italy, they announced it at the G7 summit June of last year. Yeah. Again, we're going to do it. And they announced it in the G7. So there's Slovenia.
Yeah.
There is now Germany. There is now Poland. We've got Hungary on a different level altogether. I'll talk about it. So G7 meetings. And then internal borders, what has changed? Netherlands and Norway have announced their intention to reduce border controls. Dutch started from 9th of December, lasted 6 months. That's what Geert Wilders, again, under the radar.
Yeah.
No one really massively in this country talking about it.
No.
How many countries are doing so.
How many countries are left in the Schengen area?
Yeah, and that is when you come out and see this from the European Parliament. The request from the Netherlands government comes out, and I think, maybe it's just missed. I actually had the legislation from the European Union and the list of countries. Is that it? No.
It's all right. I'll
come back. The European Union actually has a list of all the countries that have applied for amendments. And if I find it, I'll put it back up on there. I thought we had it.
How many countries is it in the Schengen? It's 29 or something.
It's 29 and literally 10 of them, or possibly 11, are now applying these temporary rules on Schengen. Half of them are applying them, and one of them is avoiding it at all completely. Because didn't the European Union sign up in May of last year this pact on migration and asylum, which said, this is where we can do the point you raised, share it amongst our mates.
Mm.
We're a team, guys. Look, we get 3 million a year coming in, go on, Holland, you have 500,000, you know.
Lithuania, I think it was Lucas' point, but I think it was well made.
The irony to all of this, of course, as well, is just the fact that in their efforts to artificially create some European superstate of harmony and peace and love, of course, you know, all the problems that they've made to import, you know, that they've imported into Europe have actually made quite a strong European identity. Just not the one that they wanted or were anticipating for the patriots and people going, hang on, this is actually a really precious civilization that we've got here, and the European Union are taking it from us.
I don't think it's doing anything to damage the national identities either. Mm. It's anything. I mean, the increase of the borders seems to be an emphasis on national nationalism, frankly, in Europe.
I kind of think that to a certain extent, you know, Brits, the liberal Brits here, those on the left in the centre, really misunderstood some parts of what's happening in all across Europe, as the general Europeans actually quite like their Europe. They actually quite like the fact that they go off in lederhosen and drinks tankards of beer without having someone with a burqa serve it with them.
Just like we used to like our England.
Yeah.
You know?
And whilst we have gone down to a level that many of them now, when they come over on holiday, see and just do not like, they're beginning to see it when they go to Paris. I mean, if you ever go to Paris, I mean, it doesn't look like France at all.
No.
I feel like I'm in Morocco or somewhere like that. It's got nice buildings, but it just you rarely see a Parisian unless you're in that really exclusively French area. So it's either tourists or those who have moved in there. And it's quite frightening moving around the railway stations. Rome is starting to get like that in certain pockets.
Right.
And that's really, really quite concerning on there. And I think even the mafia, who the 'Ndrangheta, who were profiting from this extensively, have started to go, oops, we have actually made a bit of a mistake on this themselves.
Start reverse migrating.
Well, they need to consider that because they've got a big profit margin.
Make them an offer they can't refuse.
Can I just talk about, I think your view on the British EU file lib type is, I think that's a really interesting point, because they being outside of the European Union and kind of remote from it, are starting to look like dinosaurs, like some sort of like museum piece. Because you still see the sort of Mike Galsworthy types where they're just like EU no matter what, blah, 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 blah. And yet on the continent, it's starting to look a lot like not the EU that he remembers, right? Change is happening, but in the British Europhile mind, the EU is crystallized into the sort of 2011, 2012 Merkel-led, you know, coalition of liberal end-of-history nations. Whereas this is starting to look more and more like something out of, I don't know, like Children of Men or something. You know, like it's you know, the borders are coming down and everyone's like, no, the hackles are up. We you know, nice dream, but we're dealing with reality.
Yeah. Right?
Whereas the Britlib has just been like, oh, living in a daydream about these things, and has not changed with the times.
No, they're still going on holiday and thinking it's all like Barcelona, unless you're being robbed by the Albanians and Romanians going down the Ramblas, and they still think that they're in some lovely part of France on holiday. You know,
well, they probably go to like the south of France or something.
And they
there's
think
no immigrants.
Great.
You know,
well, that's where they go, and they're just not seeing what's happening in all the cities and towns in the same way it's occurring here. And this pact on migration, I just always thought was wrong in principle anyway. The idea that we distribute it, and if you don't want it, you just pay for it.
Yeah.
And then almost immediately that Geert Wilders came in, he got a letter from half of the people who'd signed this particular pact on migration saying, well, we should renege it.
Yeah.
You know, so they've got it in place. Obviously, Orban is the great leader of the opposition on there, and now you've got the rise back perhaps of the conservative movement in Poland to take control again. And all he needs to do is get a good percentage of those. If Geert Wilders could get his act together and work within the system to be strong enough to do so, if Poland was able to be more strong on this, along with Slovenia and Hungary, you'll be in the situation where he said we should reverse it, because at the moment, Orban doesn't care.
He says
I'm paying $1 million a day, but I'm not going to allow anyone in.
Yeah. I mean, I would rather pay $1 million a day and not allow anyone in. But I just want to show, you know, the Britlib needs to remember this is what your beloved Europe looks like right now. Mm. This is a photo of it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, your liberal dream is over. It's gone. That Europe no longer exists.
And just look at the border. That's Serbia coming in. He's got this on one side. It's a big fence. All of those on the left are not Europeans.
Yeah, you can see the Middle Eastern
men. Yeah, they're Kurdish. They're coming in from Syria. They're coming in from Afghanistan.
There's one kid there, though, so they at least found the one child who's with them.
Yeah, I just produced the research for that Labour MP that was on Question Time, who said all the men and women coming across the boat. So I did turn around to him and say, look, it is 78.3% of them are men, so I suppose you're right.
But this is the thing. I genuinely think that they live in that kind of dreamy, false consciousness, liberal reality where it's just like, it doesn't have any bearing on what's actually happening.
And what's more, they don't seem to have come to terms with the fact that it was their intransigence on every single one of these liberal fantasies. If they'd been willing to give an inch in Britain on any of those issues, the vote could have gone the other way. You know, bear in mind it was only 2%, but they couldn't. No. They weren't willing to give an inch, and in doing so, here they are screaming 10 years later.
Well, that inch is now the mile that they're facing now.
Yes.
And also, I think it feeds into their geopolitics. I mean, I looked at it. They spent over 150 billion euros in Africa through the various African funds to try and prevent this. And it's still not stopping the Africans coming in because the money's been wasted in their way that they do so.
And of course, telling the Africans we've got loads of money to waste. Come on over. Yeah.
That's a bad idea.
That's
true. And then we also allowed regime change to help because it suited us to be able to kind of destroy Syria rather than saying, well, we're going to put our Al-Qaeda in, who was actually probably behind, if not some of his colleagues behind, the 7/7 bomb that we're actually supposedly looking back on today. Mm. And he's now be shaking hands with our foreign minister.
So in the interest of time, is this working?
No. So I'm going to end up on this because I'm ending up this. The news was that we've had a huge reduction in Q1 this year of 20,000. So instead of 338,000 coming in next year, it'll just be around 280. So
that is an improvement.
So I think that's an improvement for them. That starts it, but that's what Europe is going to face. Yep. Another 250,000 coming in on all the routes this year. So I think it's starting to see the collapse around us, and this kind of EU migrant war is going to continue.
The Engaged View says, it'll be hilarious if the mafia responds by putting goat heads in the migrants' beds. My friend, there are not enough goats. there are just not enough goats. It's true.
It's true. That would be enough.
Yeah, that would be an absolute massacre of Europe's goat population. Goats.
And Tom, they probably have to do it by halal.
Yeah, non-halal goats. Yeah. Tom says, it's all sounding like the European Union mentioned in Lionel Shriver's The Mandibles. I haven't read that, so I can't speak to it. Sorry, would you like...
Yes, thank you.
Go ahead.
Great.
So I'll take these ones.
Yep.
All right, then. So, hang on. Nope. So... Over the weekend in Dewsbury in West Yorkshire, which for those who don't know is near Leeds, there was a protest and to do with the grooming gangs. And
finally, it's about time someone was out protesting against the grooming gangs.
Yeah.
Yes, only it was for them.
Ah.
Because what you have here is Charlie Peters' comments is that the protest group Fighting for Fair Trials is demonstrating. So this flyer here got put through local residents' letterboxes, and I thought it was just reading through some of the comments that
I thought this was a joke when you first put it up.
No, this is real. This is real.
If I get this up full screen, just
please
see it properly. Yeah,
yeah. So let's just go through them one by one. So we start with the obligatory sympathy for the victims.
Right. Okay. Stop there. Then that's all you need to do. Peaceful demonstration in solidarity with the victims of the Muslim grooming gangs.
Yeah.
And that's really where it needs to just stop, right?
You'd think. But really, it's the other three that are obviously their true motives, right? The first one is nothing more than a nicety.
Look at the frame of this. Racist trials.
Mm-hmm.
Scandal of injustice. No.
No.
No. No. No. I've yet to hear anyone actually even appeal against. Like, you know, this isn't like Lucy Letby, where there's a bunch of unanswered questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, these people have been tried. They've been found guilty because they seem to have done what they've been accused of. And then they spend 5 years in jail.
Yeah, and in some of those cases, these people that were arrested, and I'll go into that in a minute, were obviously committing these crimes as early as 2002.
Oh, it's, I mean, the actual problem has been going back way longer than that.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, sorry.
No, not at all. So it says, the misleading media focus under this caption here, it says, it is alarming that media outlets persist in using the term Asian grooming gangs. Well, you don't need to convince me on that. I think we should go to Pakistani grooming gangs.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with you on that point.
What do the Chinese ever do? You know what the Japanese
That's
do?
Right.
Obscuring the broader context of child sexual abuse, which extends well beyond this narrow focus.
Sure. That's true. Mm. But there's no one covering up the broader context of child sexual abuse.
No.
The broader context of child sexual abuse, I mean, outside of the BBC, obviously, which probably accounts for a large percentage of child sexual abuse. The point being is that the problem with the Pakistani grooming gangs is that Labour were basically in on it and covered it up.
Mm-hmm.
All the institutions prevented justice from happening. And that's why these are all historic cases. Oh, in 2002 to 2005, this guy did this. Okay, well then, I guess 10, 15 years later, we're going to have to charge it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's...
When they say racist trials, it's like, no, the problem of racism in the institutions is what took these trials so long to come forward in the first place.
This is not Kill a Mockingbird.
Kill
a Dewsbury Bird. You know, that's it. That's not, what it is at all. And what I look at is that last one, living in fear. The community's living in fear when they're stigmatized.
Well, it's the Norm MacDonald tweet, isn't it? I dread to think if ISIS killed 50 million people.
I'm only interested in the girls that are living in fear, the families that have been living in fear for 10, 15 years, because the people who've raped them and molested them and injured them are still walking on the streets, protected by a Labour Party and protected by people who create leaflets like that, but totally ignores the pain and the suffering they've gone through.
A couple of years ago, there were a bunch of articles about how one of the victims, but the victims keep bumping into their abusers in the supermarket.
Mm. Right? That's right.
And it's like, look, that just shouldn't have been possible because they should have been scourged and deported, right? They should the second they got out of jail, they should have just been instantly deported.
Right.
And Rupert Lowe's like, and anyone who knew about it, I agree.
Mm.
I'm going to try not to get annoyed about this.
As I was doing this, I was really trying not to hurl my laptop.
It is. Across. And I just noticed, too, you just sat there with Charlie Peters. I don't know if you're going to cover it. Who started this?
Oh, yes. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Sorry, let me just go through the other ones. Misleading media focus. Yeah. But BS. We just look at the convictions and it's like 90% Pakistani men. Impact on the community. The ongoing narratives contribute to a divisive atmosphere within our society and create rifts promote polarization. Sorry, I don't really see a shared hour their society and my society.
No.
I don't feel that they're a part of my society. And I don't really want to be a part of their society because there's a real problem with rampant child rape and grooming gangs in their society. Yeah. I don't want that to be my society. Like, and then the living in fear, it's like, well, many families within our community are living in fear due to the stigmatizing representations. It's like, you're not the victims of your own actions.
Mm.
I'm sorry that you did this to yourselves.
Well, I also checked the census as well. In this particular area of Dewsbury where it was, where this protest was held, 77.7% Asian.
Of course it is.
Right. Southeast Asian.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So they all, you know, again, everyone would have known. And that's an entire, more than half of the population of that district.
But then to come out and be like, look, we're the victims of what our brothers and our uncles and our cousins have done. We're, you know, it's like, sorry, no, absolutely not.
So as you can see,
just look at them. Just.
Yeah.
Filth, absolute disgusting filth.
So this guy here, this Irfan Khan, his sister is the one who organized this protest.
Shit.
So he's in there for 3 counts of rape and threatening murder.
Right.
And she, I didn't bring it up, but I saw her commenting on their TikTok page saying, oh, there was no evidence. And it's like, well, and then someone commented saying, well, did you go to a trial? It's like, yeah. It's like, well, wasn't there any evidence at the trial? Well, there was this girl who gave a testimony. There's your evidence.
Yeah, that's called evidence.
Yeah.
You know, and it's substantial evidence. It's not circumstantial. It's not made up.
No.
It's not fairy evidence with fairy dust, love. You know, it's actually evidence strongly that your brother was a rapist. And you cannot accept that he is a rapist.
But but all of these guys will have, like, connections with one another. Like, you know, one of them will be married to so-and-so's sister. Okay. There'll be cousins, there'll be uncles. Like, this is not new, and this is not something we don't have detailed information about now.
Absolutely.
Like, the government's own reports, even when they're trying to cover up this issue, are like, well, yeah, this happens in a largely homogenous way because of the familial and social relations within the community. And the wives of the groom gang members themselves come out and go, well, the young girls deserve it because they're filthy, because they're white, and they're not Muslims. And we know from victims saying, look, we were racially abused during this.
Yeah.
And the way that these guys justify this to themselves is that we are just disgusting kaffir white girls.
That's right. That's how they do it. I look at their faces and look at most of them. There is a kind of, I mean, I feel absolute repulsion. Mm. But there's a couple of them that just pick it up there. So you can see, I just don't give a damn. And it's the middle, the bottom row in number three of them from the left.
Mm.
The middle one from the rest. And actually, her brother. They've got the eyes there. All the others seem to have a little bit of like shame or I'm sorry I've been caught. But that is absolute, completely standard. I'm saying, so. You want some of me? That's it. And you can see it in their faces, complete revulsion for these individuals and the hundreds like them.
So the I hate to go to the Daily Mail, but it's the only place I could find. There was quotes that I drew out of it from the actual brother himself.
Oh, yeah.
From conversations that the sister had. And the brother says, since I've been inside, there have been so many come inside all of a sudden. It's been like a domino, half of Dewsbury's inside here. So, well, what does that say?
Yeah.
This tells us there's a widespread phenomenon within that community, which means that it would have been well known that it was happening.
Yeah. And after all this time, as I say, after all this decades, these girls are finally getting some justice. And he's just there saying, it's really unfair, you know? It's just unfair. No idea.
But remember, they genuinely think of themselves as the victims of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Genuinely think this way.
They do.
I've been to Batley. I've not been to Dewsbury, but I've been to Batley. And you just sense when you get up there how they just will keep themselves to themselves and just say, I don't care. It's just, I don't care about the white people.
Yeah, it's a very sort of closed attitude.
Look at this.
So I've turned it down because it's not worth playing because the audio is not very clear anyway. But
let me guess. This is their husbands, brothers, and fathers.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
In a racist system, truth gets silenced. No, in a racist...
Yeah, that's true.
In a racist system, rape gets ignored. Yeah. That's what it should be saying.
That's why this happened.
But I actually wanted to talk about this video a little bit more.
Innocent until proven guilty. Well, they were proven guilty. Now what do you want?
Right.
You know, just... Sorry, go on.
No, not at all.
I've got to control myself.
I'm getting really angry about it.
So I wanted to talk about this video a little bit as well, because I don't know this... I'm not familiar with this chap, Billy Moore. Apparently he was an ex-boxer. But he goes around the country. You can see on his YouTube channel, he just visits different places in England. And he was in Dewsbury at the time when this protest was going on. So you get a good image here of, as you've just pointed, to all the placards. But I also just want to take a moment to talk about the dynamic and the tension, right, that was visible as I was watching this video. Because as soon as Billy turns up and they're all there getting all their protest cards out, and instant antagonism. Mm. Instant antagonism. And also they go on and it's disgusting. There's a little bit later in this video, they go on to say the sister just pulls out some bogus statistic, right, about how, well, really it's just all the white British men doing it. And they all cheer.
Yeah.
They all cheer at that.
Yeah. Mm. We can racially other this problem.
Yeah.
And so our community is being unfairly stigmatized with what this is, with what they've done.
And then towards the end as well, when he wants to do an interview with the woman who's speaking, with the sister, she says, oh, yes, we're very happy to talk to you. But everything about her kind of just suggests that she isn't. Yeah. Right. And she just quickly goes away and says, oh, but you were very aggressive, so actually we're gonna leave, even though one of them had threatened to assault him. And you can see in all of this as well, just the English policeman in the middle of this, just trying to, because obviously there are just locals in Dewsbury who, Englishmen, who know about all of this. And so to see these people here, you know, being basically apologists.
Not, is it even apologetic? Like, this is just a pure defense, isn't it? I mean, they're just claiming that there's none. I mean, look at the signs. The signs are claiming that none of this is true. It's just racism.
Yeah.
It's like, sorry.
The worst one as well was this one here, where basically they said that it was actually, it's all fake and it was just these girls looking for easy compensation.
Really?
That's literally what the wives have been saying for ages. They deserve it and it's all lies. Mm. Like, of course they're saying this.
It's, honestly, it's absolutely monstrous. And if I go to here from Lee, yes, as you can see, but it goes on to, I just want to actually talk about, obviously, the fact of the matter, because we've had the Casey report now, which just goes into the nuts and bolts of it. It doesn't bring anything new, as we know, but it just compiles everything. And it's on the question.
Just a quick thing on the Casey report. What it did is confirmed everything the right wing was saying about the grooming gangs.
Yes.
It was, you know, because all like the 2020 report that the Home Office produced was a series of, yes, it's kind of true, but then concludes with quotable denial, where they can say, oh, no, this isn't the problem, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But the Casey report literally says, well, that report doesn't, I mean, we don't know how they came to that conclusion because the evidence doesn't bear that out. And actually, everything the right has been saying about the grooming gangs is true, and we should deal with it. And Casey herself came out on a, was it the news agents or something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Said, look, if we don't do away, if we don't deal with this, then the right will be able to make political capital out of it.
And if
which is literally the only reason they want to do it.
And if they couldn't, we wouldn't have to do anything about
this. Yeah. Exactly.
Which is even more disgusting. But just obviously, for those at home, just the quotes. On the question of ethnicity, the report said, we found that the ethnicity of perpetrators is shied away from and is still not recorded for two-thirds of perpetrators, so we are unable to provide any accurate assessment from the nationally collected data. However, it added that at a local level for three police forces, Greater Manchester, South Yorkshire, and West Yorkshire, where Batley and Dewsbury is, there was enough evidence to show a, quote, disproportionate number of men from Asian ethnic backgrounds among suspects for group-based child sexual exploitation.
We can just look at the convictions, look at the names. We know who they are because they've been sent to jail for it.
And if you look at what you said about the statistics of how many people are white living in that community, then, you know, if their own analysis was correct in that, you know, you've got a large number of white people committing these crimes across the country, then you would say also there's a wide proportion of white people committing crimes in Dewsbury as well on the logic. But it fails. Yeah. The reality is that in Dewsbury, where the vast majority of them are Muslim men, it's Muslim criminals who have committed these offences. Mm-hmm. They were all innocent until proven guilty. They all had trials. There was all evidence presented to them. The evidence was done so on conviction by juries and they're sentenced by just all of that is all the stuff that is in this country. And they were hidden for a generation almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they've got nothing to complain about here.
And the thing is, they you'll see the activists on Twitter go, oh, look, here's a white grooming gang. Yeah. I don't see anyone talking about that. It's like, well, there's nothing to talk about. They weren't covered up. Where's the cover up? What's the problem?
Yeah.
You found some criminals. They've been charged. They're going to jail for a very long time. Good. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite. Another thing also I just wanted to say actually about that video that Billy Moore was recording as well was just the fact that the... It's remarkable how you stage a protest, presumably to garner some level of goodwill against the local
sympathy,
community.
Maybe.
Right, or sympathy, right? Mm. However, once again, they don't concede a thing. They don't say, look, our Pakistani community has probably got the worst reputation in the entire country right now.
Well, polling has actually been done on this. They're the least liked community in Britain,
right,
other than the Roma.
Yeah. Mm. Unbeatable.
Yeah.
But they don't seem to, again, they're not willing to like meet
contrition.
Them half. There's nothing there. No. There's nothing there other than berating them, calling these the English people racist, calling the entire system corrupt and racist.
Yeah.
And so, again, it's just, it was honestly just torture to watch these Englishmen and women just on the other side of this having to listen to these people just spouting these lies
yeah.
with such with the defense of the law around them.
Sorry, I just wanted to go back to this, because this is something I tweeted about this the other day, but I just find this genuinely fascinating, right? Because look at the background, right? The background is a decrepit old English high street, right? That 20, 30 years ago was probably quite nice, hasn't been maintained. And, you know, they're building something, the council is regenerating in the background, but it's because the people themselves aren't looking after the place.
That's right.
The state has to come in. And so you can see how the society has been hollowed out itself.
Yes.
Right. And then in the foreground, we've got the real sort of emphasis of the social problems that the Muslim community in Britain has brought with it, right? There's an alien culture that is refusing to integrate, hence all the headscarves and face covering.
Yep.
Right. So they are actively against the concept of integration. We are a separate community, and we feel that we're a separate community to you, and therefore you are being racist to us by having a negative characterization of the community, even though we are related to the people who have been convicted of raping a child. So now the question isn't one, does this community, not only are they not integrated, but they also repudiate our own moral and legal system, right? They're saying, no, look, my loyalty to my brother is way higher than my loyalty to the concept of justice, right? The idea of justice, not my problem. I don't believe. I believe my brother when he says no, but the fact that this has happened so widely and so regularly, kind of, and the fact that they've all been convicted, suggests that the brother is just lying.
Right.
But the family tie, so we've got a different community that doesn't intend to integrate, that is actively opposed to the justice that they have been given. And then they're using the mask of social justice that the left have provided with them. It's like, oh, it's a racist system. Truth gets silenced. It's like, oh, right. Okay. So the leftist social justice politics are going to be a mask for their sectarianism because we know that this community is oppositional to our own. And so, okay, now, and okay, well, that's all bad. So what do we have left? Well, rampant entitlement, right? We are the victims. We are the ones who deserve sympathy for what our cousins and brothers have all done to your community. And this is just a perfect portrait of the decline of the United Kingdom.
This is everything wrong. And what's also unlooking behind it, it's looking at Kirklees.gov.uk are actually doing the renovation of that. And Kirklees, I can guarantee, is going to be one of these wider metropolitan mayors areas, which will get the wealthier areas to fund their decline.
Yes.
And to look after it. And they're still not grateful for that at all. This is why I'm implacably opposed to this extension of mayoralties, and everything should be localized. If they can't look after their own areas on the money that they've got, then so be it.
But this is just everything wrong with the United Kingdom right now. Just summarized in one screenshot there.
It is. And to go further on your point, Carl, about just the level of ethnic solidarity that they feel, regardless of the guilt of the community.
Well, they don't feel guilt. They feel shame. That's the thing.
Well, no, I mean guilt from our point of view, you know, looking
at
them.
There we go.
Obviously, and this is the MP for Dewsbury and Batley.
What a surprise.
So we can't really expect him to give us a fair listen, can we?
No.
Of course, he was overjoyed when Corbyn started his new party. He cares about Gaza a tremendous amount.
He tweets Zara Sultana.
All the rest of it. He also voted no
on the Groom and Gang
inquiry.
Of course he did, because maybe he knows people, or maybe he knows people that might...
Even if he doesn't know, it's just ethnic solidarity. I'm going to defend our community.
Yeah.
So...
And so, obviously, I just thoroughly agree with Rupert about all of this. If they knew and did nothing, deport them, all of them. It's sick. They have no place in our society. They may not have directly raped anyone, but in my view, they are just as guilty as the rapists themselves.
Well, they're complicit.
They are.
They're complicit by not going to the police. I know what my brother is doing, and yet I'm not going to go to the police. When he ends up finally getting found out and finally going to jail, I'm going to go to protest and say that he should be allowed out. It's like, no, this is not acceptable.
No.
This is disgraceful.
So everyone, as far as I'm concerned, Rupert's right, and everyone in that protest should be deported.
The Engaged View says, they're not protesting for fair trials or justice, because fair trials in a just society would put these sex predators on the scaffold. I wouldn't even safeguard them, your beloved minister for safeguarding and violence against women and girls. Well, this is Jess Phillips on the horn of a dilemma. She needs the Muslim vote, which she's going to lose in the next election. And she knows she's on borrowed time. So there's nothing she can do. Casa Dowen says, I live in the town next to Dewsbury. It's exactly how you imagine it to be. Mm. My God, it's so hard not to Fed post these days. Yeah, tell me about it. Anyway, let's move on.
Yep.
So I think something quite dark is happening in Britain at the moment. Mm. And I think that we get lost in the partisan politics of the issue that's of what's going on a daily basis. Mm. But actually, if you look at this at a slightly more abstract and broad level, you realize that there is a machine being formed in our political life, and the Conservatives are just as guilty of helping to form this machine as the Labour Party, that is going to defend itself at the expense of the country no matter what. And I don't like the fact that I'm going to have to use Palestine Action as the example for this, because, of course, they're a bunch of communists and I don't support them in any way. Mm-hmm. However, I'm not like the people of the left who will just ignore and turn a blind eye when it's not their guys being attacked. And when it's, oh, it's the right wing, great, we want them arrested. There's something a bit worse, right? So,
and we've got to be even careful to a certain extent of in kind of like the language that the new legislation on Palestine Action means. It's also thwarting to a certain extent how we even emphasize freedom of speech and democracy now. Because it might be deemed by the police that we are supporting or Palestine Action. Yep. None of us do.
No.
And we have to. The fact that we have to say that.
Obviously.
Is you know, the very fact we say that, so we don't get people charging through the door and dragging us off like the 8-year-old.
Yeah, of course. In Britain now, I have to be very clear. I am really, really right wing. I do not support any left wing groups at all. And yet, I still feel that this, what is happening here, is wrong. Mm-hmm. So this is the sum total of the damage that was done to RAF Bryce Norton when a handful, four suspects, managed to break in the middle of the night and spray paint some planes with paint. Right. Now, we're told that this is £7 million worth of damage. Right. So what are we saying? The cost of a new coat of paint for one of those planes is £7 million. That's a bit expensive. I'll do it for half. This is not really very important. Mm. This is utterly trivial, right? The plane would still fly. As far as the BBC tell us, it is literally just that they broke into RAF Bryce Norton on June the 20th and they sprayed it with red paint. So it's pretty typical of average leftist protests. You saw a lot of the Just Stop Oils, like damaging paintings and things like that with that sort of thing. Pretty typical. And they do this for a very obvious reason. It gains headlines, but it also doesn't do any tangible harm.
Yeah.
Right. So what this is a bunch of middle class, really insufferable people who spend all their time on the internet and want to be extreme do-gooders. And this is annoying, but not actually dangerous. Right. Not actually dangerous. Really annoying, kind of insufferable. Personally, I don't want to give them the time of day, but we kind of have to. So
if they were actually dangerous, they'd have blew the thing up.
The worst party involved in this is the sentries who let them get onto the base in the first place.
Well, yes. I mean, but the thing is, a lot of these things are actually not very well guarded.
Weren't they at the Pride March? rolling along.
Most likely.
This is another thing that I kind of find a bit annoying, is that the pro-Palestine people are kind of... everyone involved is a leftist, so they're all just pushing open doors. But anyway, the charge that they have been arrested under is conspiracy to commit criminal damage and conspiracy to enter a prohibited place knowingly for a purpose prejudicial to the safety or interests of the UK. Right. Is that terrorism?
No. See, this is why I had an issue with it when I was talking about it last week and putting on. I'm deeply concerned about this extension of the language of terrorism. And not because they're trying to use it for these people, as I say, you know, irritants that they are.
Sure.
I've long argued that we have historical common law in this country that talks about crime, theft, burglary, rape, assault, that did not need all these extensions that we started adding on in the Race Relations Act, the Internal Security Act changes, the Terrorism Act changes. All of those are deliberately added on by a specific number of individuals that don't care about freedom, pretend that they do, sit at dinner parties, talk around in policy statements saying, I want to protect the interests of our country. I need to do more to ensure that we don't have terrorists. They don't care. I just don't think they do.
They don't care about those things. They do care about something, right? Yeah. So, like I said, I don't think this is terrorism. I think conspiracy to commit criminal damage is obviously what they did. Mm-hmm, and absolutely. They can just be arrested and charged and punished on those standards, right? Yep. So not terribly dramatic, actually, because like you said, they could have blown it up.
Yeah, they could have done.
They could have done anything.
Could have set it on fire. You know, they could put a set of Twinkies in there and melted the chocolate over the end.
Whatever it is, yeah.
You know, damaged it. They, not more than they do.
So anyway, the four people who have been charged are Amy Gardner Gibson. So got some double barrel names going on.
Yeah. Yep.
29 of no fixed abode. So couch surfing, I would assume. Johnny Kink, 24 of no fixed abode. Daniel Geronimi Dees Nori, 35 of London, and Louis Chiramorello, 22 of London. So, right. Mm. Some students, some probably fairly well-to-do people, middle-class protest, just like Just Stop Oil. And so we know the kind of people we're dealing with. Obviously, they chanted Free Palestine from the gallery as these people were led away. There's no application for bail, no pleas entered. They'll be charged on they'll appear before the criminal court on the 18th of July. And the Crown Prosecution Service will argue in court that the alleged offences had a terrorist connection. Now, in the most indirect way, you could argue this, but I think it's pretty flimsy. And I think these people aren't terrorists. They're really annoying.
Yeah, I think they're just a group of annoying individuals committing criminal damage. Yeah. And the question about it is how much the politics of this is being used in the criminal justice system.
Because this is all ideological. Right, so moving on. So the government on the 1st of July decided they were going to prescribe three groups. The parliament is going to be put, it was put to the parliament to prescribe Palestine Action as well as, quote, the Mannix murder cult. What? They sound like nice chaps.
Yeah.
And the Russian Imperial Movement. Now, what you can't help but notice is that these are all, the Mannix murder cult. I had to look this up because I'd never heard of this.
No, I've never.
It's a neo-Nazi group.
Right.
Operates around the world, actually. The Americans have recently had to deal with them. I'd never heard of them.
Never.
But the point is, all three of these groups are ideological. Obviously, the Russian Imperial Movement is ideologically committed to restoring the Russian Empire.
Sure.
Mannix Murder Cult is a kind of neo-Nazi cult, and Palestine Action is an extreme left-wing cult.
But I thought that's part of government policy, is actually to bring back the Imperial Empire to Russia by putting in whoever we think is the next king, as they're trying to do in Iran.
Yeah,
just haven't found him yet.
Anyway, so it'll make it a criminal offence to invite support for them or express support for them. And they say this, quote, prescription is ideologically neutral. By deciding to prescribe these three organisations, the government is demonstrating its zero-tolerance approach to terrorism, regardless of its form or underlying ideology. National security is the government's first priority and it will not shy away from this responsibility. Now, this is a total Blairite fiction, and it will not hold.
No.
Because obviously, all three of these groups are being prescribed because of their ideologies.
Yes.
Because nothing Palestine Action has done yet has actually reached what any reasonable onlooker would look at as terrorism.
No.
I don't know. As far as I can tell, the other two haven't actually done anything themselves yet either. They say Palestine Action have attacked businesses and institutions, so it's going to be more petty damage, frankly, to these things. The MMC is a white supremacist neo-Nazi organization that is transnational and predominantly online. It aims to encourage people to do acts of violence against it because, you know, to Jews or whoever else. And the Russian Imperial Movement is a white supremacist ethno-nationalist organization which seeks to create a new imperial Russian state. Again, as far as I can tell, they haven't actually done anything yet. So these groups are really being prescribed on the basis of their ideology, and that's okay. I accept that that's the case, but you can't then say, so this is ideologically neutral. No, the British state has a particular ideology, the sort of neoliberal, technocratic, managerial global order that Keir Starmer has been a part of forever, and they are asserting their ideology against rival ideologies. Say it. Like this fiction.
Just admit it.
Yeah, this fiction that, oh, well, we're not ideological. It's like, no, you absolutely are ideological, and you do not like these other ideologies. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't like these other ideologies either. No. You know, I've got no objection to actually prescribing them, but don't tell me it's on the basis that, like, especially in the case of Palestine Action, that they're terrorists, right? No. it's not on the basis of the terrorists. It's on the basis that they're communists, is that you are actually doing this. You're just giving us a fiction. Anyway, so other communists are not happy about this. Zara Sultana, one of the most prominent Islamo-leftists in the country, said their real crime exposing UK's role in arming Israel's genocide. Okay, whatever, you know, you can complain about this. You can say that we are all Palestine action, but that's not the case. And so she ended up leaving the Labour Party over this. And you see in her letter here that she says, the truth is clear, this government is an active participant in genocide. The British people oppose it. And so the point being, it's Keir Starmer's government that has proscribed this group. Mm-hmm. She is a Muslim and she's a leftist. So, of course, she actually favours the group. And she said, you know, we're all this. And so she's completely in favour of it. And so she's left the Labour Party of it. So this is that much of an issue.
Before you go on there, I mean, I just get that line. It just really irritates me whenever I see this. I, as you know, I'm not a particular fan of Farage. But it says, meanwhile, a billionaire-backed grifter is leading the polls. A billionaire-backed prime minister is in our government. A billionaire funded his campaigns in Fink.
And you're currently leaving his party because you don't like his support for Israel.
Yeah. And a billionaires are funding the Conservative Party. A billionaire is funding the Green Party as well. So billionaires don't really matter unless they're billionaires that are right-wing. Then they're grifters.
I mean, yeah. Well, that's exactly it. Exactly. Anyway.
Our billionaires are okay.
Then there was a protest in support of Palestine Action. And again, this all ends up looking... You can see the hyper-reality of the state's ideological narrative being imposed here. Mm-hmm. Because as we've seen, Palestine Action have done something that amounts to criminal damage, but obviously is not terrorism. And then you get what is essentially a bunch of boomers coming out and saying, well, I oppose genocide, I'm for the good thing and I'm against the bad thing. And now this, because of the fiction that Palestine Action are actually a terrorist group, again, they're a very white middle-class protest group, now these people are giving support to terrorism. And so now what we have is a description of reality that is further and further diverging from what the actual reality is. Mm-hmm. The actual reality is, I bet not one of these people actually have a criminal record. Do you look at these men? Do you think they've ever thrown a punch in their lives?
No.
Do you think they've ever... Exactly.
They look like they eat quinoa, get on their bicycle and go to their million-pound house either in London or in the countryside or wherever it is, ignoring everything that impacts
people. Just after getting some Whole Foods from the local farm shop.
Yeah.
Exorbitant prices, you know, like these are not terrorists,
not in the slightest at all,
right? And yet this is where the government is now. Ideologically, it's got a fiction that it is committed to, and that's the problem, right? Because when our description of reality starts diverging from what reality actually is, this is how you end up with the sort of, you know, the Chernobyl, there's no graphite on the roof. Mm. And it's like, okay, well, I know that, you know, the political narrative tells me there's no graphite on the roof, but I can see that these aren't terrorists.
Yeah.
I can see these are just prats. Right.
We know what terrorists are. They're the people who strap bombs on themselves and blow themselves up on 7/7 and kill children at a pop concert.
Yes.
Yeah. We know the terrorists are the ones who get a gun and shoot police officers outside Westminster and along the bridge.
Or they get a knife and go...
Yeah, and they get a knife and go and slash people.
Yeah.
Terrorists don't put up a white placard with black writing and say, I oppose genocide support in with like kind of half the clothes that they wear and look like that at all.
Yeah. And so this is the problem. So 29 people at this protest were arrested, and they honestly look kind of embarrassing. I mean, like the idea that you can, I'm just going to boil down the Middle East conflict into good versus bad. It's like, oh yeah, right. It's that easy, is it? Right? Okay, you clearly know everything about this.
It's also, if I may, just also if I could go back to because we've had so many Palestine protests go through London now as well. You know, and the amount of times that the police have just let genuine threats of violence or genuine, you know, like Nazi salutes, all those sorts of things, they've let those go because they know that they can't police those protests.
When there's
100,000, all of a sudden it's really easy when they're all 80-year-old pensioners, English pensioners.
When there's 100,000 Muslim men and women marching through with, you know, doing with swastikas and doing
salutes. I just also look at that.
Great point.
If you reverse this and put, I support Christian genocide, I support Syria's Al-Qaeda president. I wonder if you put that up.
Well, that wouldn't be a crime.
You wouldn't be a crime.
No.
No, because I mean, we're going to shake hands with him and bring him over and give him a state dinner.
They might get you on some public order thing, but it wouldn't be support for terrorism.
No.
Which is a very high charge. I mean, like, even, was it Kneecap the other day, when the videos of them on stage saying, you know, kill your local MP and big up Hamas and Hezbollah, yeah, or whatever it was. That was declined. That apparently didn't meet the threshold for terrorism. It's like, why not?
Absolutely, but these do.
But this does, yeah, exactly. So we're now living in the state-enforced fiction that Palestine Action and these boomers, these white English boomers, are a bunch of terrorists. Right, okay. I mean, one of them is a retired priest. He's 83 this. Years old. Sorry, what are we talking about here?
It's all right. I mean, clearly I get really worried about as she goes to a German Christmas market with that knife running through, doesn't she? Really?
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh yeah, we put up the diversity bollards for her, did we?
Yeah.
Come on now. Come on, this is nonsense. Again, as insufferable and like do-gooding, virtue-signaling types that they are, they're not terrorists. And I don't like that the government is determining, we have declared these people to be terrorists. Like, no, you should have declared them to be idiots and then laughed at them in Parliament and then moved on. Yeah. And that should have been the end of it, right? And so you've got Mark Rowley, who was like, well, I mean, we have to do this, right? He gives his justification for this down here. He says, quote, "The law doesn't have an age limit, whether you're 18 or 80. If you're supporting prescribed organizations, then the law is going to be enforced." Oh, really? Really? So 95% of burglaries go uninvestigated.
Yep, that's right.
It took decades to get justice for grooming gang victims.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to, like you said, a bunch of harmless old boomer white people who want to go out and virtue signal, suddenly the law is the law.
The full force of the law.
Exactly. Suddenly the law is the law. It doesn't matter whether you're 18 or 80. Well, she was 83, but I mean, yeah. The point being, you could have exercised reasonable restraint on this and said, well, I don't really think this actually is support for terrorism because it doesn't seem to be. Anyway, he says, the officers you could see did it with great care and tried to preserve that person's dignity, but they're breaking a serious law. And so, anyway, he says all of this, and this response from the left is stupid, right? This is how we sleepwalk into fascism. It's like, Zara, right? Not everything bad is fascism, and actually, other things can be bad and oppressive and totalitarian. We are looking at something that is more akin to the resurgence of the Soviet Union here, where it's not the protest itself is a problem because it ideologically challenges the establishment, right? It's not fascism. What this is managerial technocracy enforcing its boundaries in a very abstract way.
I think you talk about managerial technocracy, but it's also managerial communism.
Yes,
and that's we're getting to.
It's not. I think it's wrong to call it communism. It does look like communism. What it is actually a really extreme version of liberalism, like the international blank slate view of the humanity, where everything's the same all over the place. But the most important thing is the adherence to the rules. The rules themselves are more important than anything. Because actually,
But isn't that the argument that Stalin did with all his trials? He said, I set the rules and you broke them.
Well,
although he moved the rules to fit them along his way. Aren't we beginning to do that now?
It's a much longer,
that's what I'm worried about. It's the creation of the rules.
It's a much longer conversation, but you are going in the right direction there. But but to call it communism isn't really fair.
Yeah.
Because they'll say, well, I'm no communist. I'm just an extreme liberal who believes that everyone deserves unlimited human rights. And therefore, you are now a terrorist and a criminal and you're going to jail. And Zara Sultana's response is, well, this is fascism. Like, no, retard. It's not fascism, right? It's an extreme version of liberalism that becomes very abstract and then says, right, the rules are the rules and therefore we're going to enforce the rules, especially because there's no personal cost to us to enforce them because look at them, they're a bunch of OAPs. Right.
An obvious point to make as well, but Zara would have no objection to this being done to her own enemies.
Well, that's interesting that you should mention that, because, of course, there's not one mention from Zara Zoltana about Sam Melia. Now, Sam Melia is a right-wing activist who posted a series of stickers a few years ago in which you can see that actually it's what were to become Telegraph headlines.
Yeah.
We will become a minority in our own homeland. I think it was Okay to Be White was another one of them.
Yeah.
Nothing that was actually that insightful, I thought.
Doesn't sound like he's a fan of genocide either.
No, no, he's probably not. But
and particularly accurate, because that's what the ONS figures are now saying.
Yeah, this is the correct projection. If there are other stickers of him where he's like calling for people to be killed or something, I'm just not aware of them.
No.
Right? And they didn't come up in any of the reports.
You would be aware of them because they'd all want you to see them.
Well, precisely. You know, you would think. But he was found guilty of stickering incidents in 2019 and 2021 for inciting racial hatred. Mm. And you can see the judge, Tom Bayliss, here said the publication of this kind of material is corrosive to our society. Right. So it's not that he was inciting violence or inciting an uprising or something like this. Mm. He was just saying things that were true, at least in the pictures that we've got. Mm-hmm. And like you say, if he had said something that was clearly outside of the bounds of reasonable discourse, mm-hmm. they would show us. They'd be like, look at what he did. Mm-hmm. You can see this guy's a real problem. And so he was jailed for ideological reasons. So we have a very ideological state now that it used to just patrol its right flank, the cases like Sam Melia. But now it's decided, no, we are going to patrol the left flank as well. And so now you can see it's creating a kind of ideological fortress for itself. You have, it's very, very clearly defined. You go on one side or on the other side, and that's it. The state will send you to jail of the things you think. And that's the thing that's genuinely dark about what is happening here. So, yeah, like I said, I really don't like what we're seeing come into existence. But this was all potentially contained within the Blairite project. Mm. The Conservatives, what was the public protest thing, the public order thing they put out in, was it 2020 or 2021?
Yes.
There was I can't remember the name of the law.
Well, they had the Public Order Act.
That's it.
So the Public Order Act was then amended to allow harassment, intimidation, and also that's then been extended further to allow feelings.
The Conservatives extended that.
And the Conservatives extended that. And what I have about that is all of these particular pieces of legislation from the original ones of the Race Relations Acts, in principle, were fine. It was just like codifying general good manners and general good spirits. But it's when we started to end it onto phraseology, that's when the ideology can then be moved into. And this is the whole argument that you've got. I have a deep concern about the way that we're using legislation for freedom of speech and why I'm concerned about this Palestine action, because I'm with you on it. I just think, I've always been a great believer. We've got legislation and common law that's already in place. We don't need to extend what we've done. To do so means you're ideologically going down a line where I'm going to narrow the grounds of what you're allowed to think and say.
Yes.
That is something that is not liberal in this country. And if you can call yourself part of the liberal technocracy and say that's acceptable, then you're not liberal at all.
I actually think that the problem is they're only liberal. Right. Because we forget that liberalism is not a comprehensive doctrine and actually relies on a set of very conservative, unspoken assumptions about how human life should be. Mm. And Keir Starmer doesn't really share those. What they have is the only perspective is it's rational, rule following, and human rights protecting. Right. Mm. They're the three sort of main ideological pillars of liberalism, which is not the complete human life. And so it's actually when you jettison the sort of more conservative, okay, let me think about what's actually happening, what's reasonable to do when I actually look at the thing. It's a bunch of old people saying, we don't want genocide. Yeah, they're not terrorists. What they are idiots, right? Mm-hmm. But when you strip that away and only have the rules as the liberal order wants, they're just as terroristic as the 7/7 bombers.
And that's my concern. If you're just putting it down to a set of rules, then anyone can just write a rule. Sure. If 2 + 2 = 5, then you're going to say it.
Exactly.
And if you disagree with it being 5, I'm sorry, but it's our set of rules. And that's where we're getting these extensions run by an ideology and a philosophy. And whether it comes down to liberalism I have a really deep, deep worry about it.
But that's the point I want to make, because it's so easy for us to go, well, is this really what liberalism is supposed to be? It's like, well, it kind of is when it's in its purest form, right? Mm. And so liberalism has within it this danger, genuine danger, that we're actually starting to see become manifested in the state now. And so if it means we have to kind of put liberalism in its place or restrain it in some way and have a commitment to the non-liberal sort of, you know, personal side of life over this, then I'm for that. Because what's happening here is just completely wrong.
It's like the phrase there, the publication of this kind of material is corrosive to our society. What they're ignoring, the fact, is if the fact says that by 2026 we will be a minority, meaning the white community, why is that corrosive to society? It's because either you're accepting that that is true and we've just got to allow it to happen and there's no way that we can change it, or what is corrosive is stating the facts.
Yes.
If you put the facts out there, that's corrosive.
It's stating the facts because the facts themselves contain an implication, but we don't have time to go through at the moment. But there is a huge amount in there. Anyway, so basically, I don't think Palestine Action are terrorists. I think they're idiots, and I think that they're useful idiots for a radical liberal state that's going off the rails and is going to criminalize anyone who does things that are ideologically unliberal, as if they were jihadis, which is a real problem that we're going to have to deal with going forward. Mm-hmm. The engaged few says, it's not terrorism, it's twattery. Annoying twattery, to be sure, but nothing more. Exactly. That's literally all this is. Mm. And that's what I mean by, like, you know, you can't just go, you know, what's written down in the rules? Oh, the rules say you're a terrorist. It's like, okay, but if you look at them, they're prats, and, you know, they've spray-painted a ship. You know, it's not a plane. OPHUK says, important child rapists, jihadis, and Islamists is more corrosive than putting stickers with truth on them, but Blair and Kerr still walking free. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, and like I said, I don't support Palestine Action at all, obviously, but this is nonsense. Mm. Let's go to the video comments.
I'm in India right now, and they're doing this like community giveaway on the streets because it's very hot. So they're giving away these free drinks, but when they're finished with it, it just ends up on the street. So they just chuck it on the floor. I'm sure the drink's lovely. I'm okay, thank you.
No.
England.
England. People are very careless.
Really? People are very careless. Just look at the bins.
Yeah.
I think he's trying to say the English people in India are very careless.
Oh, anyway, okay.
So let's get to the next one.
It always stands out to me when these people cloak their genuinely genocidal rhetoric in this weird upwards petitioning inflection. It seems to me that there's one of two things happening. Either A, they don't really mean it and they understand what they're saying is truly terrible, saying it only to ingratiate themselves with the radical social group. Thus, they cloak themselves in the veil of irony so that if they're rejected by the social group, they can retreat back to safety. But inversely, you have the crowd that actually means it. But I think in their heart of hearts, they know what they want is truly terrible. Perhaps these people adopt this petitioning tone out of a sort of guilt so that in not being stopped from saying it, they have the tacit approval of the people they seek to destroy.
Yeah, so the upwards inflection at the end of a statement is actually a concealed question, right? When you say, is that like that? Is it? That's kind of what you're saying without actually asking the question. And so what you're looking for is the sort of confirmation and permission to go further from whoever you're dealing with. And this is why the Valley Girl accent is so annoying, because I don't agree with you. to be honest with you, like I said in that video, actually, I'm just glad that I like it when they just come out and say what they actually think.
Yeah.
I would much rather not be dealing with, you know, mask after mask. And if, I mean, that woman in that video was like, oh, we need to destroy the United States. It's like, good.
At least you're being honest about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
I hope you're hearing this, Donald.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, look, you know, let's have it out. Hector says, I would like a competition between nations, seeing who can deport the most people per year capita. Winner gets Palestine. But the thing is, as well, like, I saw someone saying online a while ago, I can't remember who it was, we need to privatize deportations. So we, rather, in the way that Serco is privatizing, you know, keeping them here, actually, no, pay a different company to deport. And I mean, you know, there's nothing more incentivizing than paying people per deportee. Right?
You look in America where they've got the ideas of competition between bail bondsmen. You know, and literally they go out to either find the people who are willing to give them money. I'll give you some money to get a bail.
Right.
And when they break bail, they're literally on a competition who can find them.
Really?
Yeah, and then they get money for it. I mean, I was trying to think, who was it?
Bounty Hunters.
Yeah, the Bounty Hunter. Yeah. I met him at Trump's inauguration when it first was inaugurated. So I went to the inauguration under Trump the first time around.
Right.
So I was in a bar with him and his wife. They were trying to get me to help them to come into the UK because both of them had criminal convictions, so they couldn't come over. She was due to go on some TV show. So I met them out there, and they were quite funny. They just admitted, yeah, we made a load of money just chasing down people, but we had to try and beat other bounty hunters to get there first.
Yeah.
So why not do it here?
Yeah. All I'm saying is, you know, if my money's got to be spent on immigrants in some way. Sophie says, well, you see, the German feels guilty. Therefore, all the countries they attacked or occupied must pay the price. Makes sense. And that's literally what's happening, right? Like, good God. Honestly. That's literally what's happening there.
He will come back for you again.
I love this kind of imperial mindset. It's like, no, this is all of our problems. It's like, no. No, you know, you made a choice and it was stupid. And now you can live with it. Michael, I can't pronounce your surname. Drabelis, whatever it is. We got your other book that you sent. Thank you. I think we have enough books for now. He says, I'm old enough to remember how condescending the Europeans were to the US over our race relations / racism. It was comical at the time. Now, I laugh at the irony that Europe is figuring out that the US has always done a better job at integrating immigrants, legal immigrants, than Europe. Now they are learning that diversity only works when the diverse are willing to integrate. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's never been very controversial to say that America has always had a much better integrationist philosophy than the Europeans. But we've never needed to have it. It's not the same here. But yeah, you're absolutely right to laugh at the high, snooty attitude. Because, I mean, just go back 10 years.
Yeah.
And they were just so up themselves.
Oh, God.
So up themselves. And
America's a racist country. Look at them. BLM, Black Lives Matter.
Trump building a border, a wall. Walls don't work, you evil. Yeah,
walls don't work.
Stupid giant Cheeto. And it's like, now Europe's filled with walls.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, the Schengen zone was a pipe dream and it's gone now. Yeah. Jimbo says, it's remarkable how we're on course to be as bad as Germany, despite having a completely natural border. Yeah, I know. It's just insufferable, isn't it?
It is.
Like, we could be an island fortress. We used to be an island fortress.
Yes.
You know, only a government full of immigration extremists could achieve such numbers. Mm. Yeah. I mean, last year, the Labour Party still let in 1 million people. It's crazy.
Just legal and illegal.
And have the temerity to hail it as a victory.
Yes. Yeah. Isn't this so much better than Boris letting in 2 million people? It's like, I guess.
Yeah.
Michael says, most bordering peoples of Ukraine don't want to be involved and don't support them. They are known as corrupt gangsters. I remember the Maidan at local Tesco car park in SK. Multiple Rolls, BMWs, and loads of men with AKs. Everybody knew not to go near them. Well, I mean, this is, again, something that you can go back literally just like 2022 with The Guardian, where they're writing articles about how Ukraine's a gangster state, and suddenly they're our greatest ally, and we've always supported them. Michael also says, my wife is Slovakian, but they get German TV shows a year, so we're watching a police drama in which they're trying to deport a Turkish gang for drugs and prostituting.
Cumbrian, I think I might watch something similar to that one.
Cumbrian Kulak says, I had a patient who was from North Pakistan. She'd been passed around the family neighborhood with her sisters and cousins. Her family had moved over here. When she tried to confront the abuse with her sisters, they were beaten and thrown in a mental hospital, gaslighting. This was in Pakistan. She says it's very common. So now that we're on YouTube, man, you can only imagine the amount of abuse that happens to Pakistani women in that community. You can only like.
I remember watching your video where you were talking about, was it Nashal's backstory?
Oh yeah. Where she's like, yeah, I've been abused. And it's like, I bet you have.
Yeah, you know, and yet still,
yeah,
she'll defend.
Still, the ethnic loyalty,
yeah,
is greater than wanting justice and against the rapists. Like,
yeah,
it's just crazy. But this is the point I make a lot. It's like, look, they're just not like us, right? In England, I can't think of anyone who wouldn't go to the police. Can't think of a single person that I know. And over my life, I've known hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And I can't think of a single one. Even people I don't like, I think would still go to the cops.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I just can't even. Anyway, Richard says, rapey rapist enablers protest. Of course they did. Hiding their faces tells you all you need to know. Well, the thing is, that's because they're not of our culture, right? Mm. They don't think that they're hiding their faces. Mm. Right? They don't realize that we are an open culture that bases a lot on being able to make judgments from expressions, mm-hmm. right? This is really important to the English in particular, but to the British more broadly. And so that's what you think, and I think that too, but you've got to remember that their perspective is just different to ours. So it's not actually what they think.
No, they don't. You know? Definitely don't.
And so, yeah, it's like, I'm not having a go at you, obviously, you know, because that's my natural instinct too. But when you research the community more and more, you realize, right, they just don't think like us. They have different priorities. And what you think is something that can be shared amongst all mankind is just not. You know, it's something that maybe most Europeans share, but it's not. Yeah. Anyway, he says, why is this tolerated? Deport, deport, deport. Well, that's 100%. They should all just be deported.
Indeed.
They shouldn't be here in the first place. Lord Nerevar says, if we were a sensible country, we'd be rounding up these pro-grooming protesters and deporting them en masse. Well, you know, one day Rupert Lowe might be in charge. Mm. Baron von Warhawk said, look at the pupils of the grooming gangs. They have the eyes of the psychopath. Mm. In fact, their pupils are the most ideal to Charlie I suppose you mean similar to Charlie Manson and Ted Kaczynski. The death penalty can't come back fast enough. I tell you what, I love that Rupert Lowe's thing was like, yeah, we're going to bring back the death penalty.
Yeah.
I love that. I love it because there are so many people who deserve it.
Yeah. Well, that was the other thing as well with the death penalty. For so long, they were able to say, oh, well, you know, they just dress it away with. Yeah. But then with Rue de Cabana, like the entire country was just able to unite around, like, no. Like every member of the public has just one guy in England.
So
they want.
When it comes,
I don't think there's more than that now.
But I just mean like that's one a universal one across the country.
So one of the typical sort of libtard arguments, like, but what if they get the wrong guy? It's like, okay, well, there are a couple of things here, right? First things first, there are standards of evidence, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the great questions in philosophy is what is true, right? What does truth mean? And so you have two broad standards, which is something that's fallibly justified and something that's infallibly justified. Mm-hmm. And something that's fallibly justified could be the other way, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got a preponderance of evidence that suggests that, in fact, things are this way, but you know that this could be something else. But then you've got infallibly justified, as in it couldn't be any other way. And there are some great examples, like the killers of, what was the marching band guy? I can't remember his name. Why is his name? Lee Rigby.
Right.
The killers of Lee Rigby. They were witnessed doing it. It was their car. They got out. They beheaded him in the street. And then they stood there with the blood on their hands, trying to persuade people about jihad or whatever it was, yeah. Right? So there is just no circumstance where it's conceivably not these men.
Absolutely. That should go.
Exactly. That is a standard of infallible truth. Mm. Right? We know it was them. It can't have been anyone else. Mm. So, okay, to the gallows. And so if the standard is fallible, it's like, well, you know, we've got like, you know, whatever series of like data points that indicates it's probably him. Well, okay, he's not eligible for the death penalty. It's that simple, you know. Actually, you know, and not only that, the level of forensic analysis that's possible to do now is way higher than it was back in the 60s when the death penalty was abolished.
Oh, indeed.
Right. So the arguments of, well, we're going to get the wrong guy. No, actually, we don't have to get the wrong guy. Mm. And it's entirely likely we won't get the wrong guy now. And the thing is as well,
I think they also have this aspect. We've got murder and we have manslaughter. But in the US, they've got murder one, murder two. Mm-hmm. If you did that on based off the fallibility, infallibility element of murder, murder one, murder two, then it's only when you've got the infallible level, murder one, and then you actually turn around and say it's the death penalty.
Yes. But moreover, the argument starts to unwind itself as well. It's like, well, if you're not completely sure that this guy is the criminal, why are you sending him to jail?
Yeah.
If you're not sure, you know, it's, oh, well, we just think he is. So, well, what, 20 years in jail is going to be something you're okay with? Oh, it was new or something, you know. So the whole thing starts to, even that very argument starts to unwind all of criminal justice. Yeah. Because if you can't be sure, then no one's going to jail. So anyway. Nicholas says, I can't imagine what it's like over there. I'm in America, and every time I hear about the gangs, I get incredibly angry.
Well, same as.
Yeah, we live in the country, and we're incredibly angry about it.
Yeah, we are.
Master of Parsnip says, Carl, the Palestine Action idiots who damaged the planes sprayed paint into the jet engines of the planes. I agree that they aren't terrorists, but their acts were of sabotage against the British military. They should be charged with treason. Fine, then charge them with treason. Mm-hmm. Right? Charge them with criminal damage, charge them with whatever you want. I don't think it's terrorism,
no.
Right? And that's the thing. So, you know, charge them as you want, but they're just not the same, substantively, as what we call terrorism. Cumbrian Kulak says, those three prescribed groups are probably all easily labeled as anti-Semitic. Yeah, they probably are, actually. Yeah. Based Ape says, I don't like the dilution of the word terrorism. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. There needs to be a clear distinction between terrorism and terrorist adjacent behavior in the same way that we differentiate between rape and sexual assaults. Both are bad. Something needs to be done in either case, but they are not the same. Yeah. And one is obviously worse than the other as well. Not that they need to, you know, play what's worse when you're being raped or sexually assaulted, but you know what I mean? Like there are important distinctions here. Theo says, I'm reluctant to defend Palestine Action. At the same time, they should never have been able to get into RAF Bryce Norton. Mm-hmm. This is people covering for their own incompetence. People in charge of the base need to be fired. Well, that's the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where's the accountability for them?
Well, of course. And we know who the woman is in charge of Bryce Norton. She's human resources executive.
She is.
Yeah. So, you know, and where were they? They're probably all doing DEI tests.
Yeah. But Theo, I hope it's clear I don't support Palestine Action, but I also don't want the liberal order in this country to start creating very abstract categories that are terrorism when the actual substantive actions that are supposed to be filling these conceptual blocks doesn't meet the threshold by any stretch.
I don't want us to see us getting to a stage where it's only a small group of people can justify what they say we can or can't say.
Yeah.
This is why I think about Weiland and all the others. I don't like what he had to say, but the moment you call him a terrorist and he should be falling within the similar acts, then every language that opposes something in government falls within that category.
Jimbo says, Zara Sultana said that we're all Palestine Action, so I guess we're all terrorists now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what they're all claiming, right? They're all saying, no, you know, actually we are all, you know, what you're calling us. But of course, they don't consider themselves to be terrorists, and that's because I don't think they are. Omar says, some terrorist organizations are more equal than others. Supporting Palestine Action is a dire threat to the UK, but supporting Palestine leadership is free speech. To be fair, if they reverse the logic, they would have to arrest half of Parliament. I'm coming around to the idea. This is the thing as well. When the left is, oh, what about free speech, bro? It's like, just shut up. Just shut up. I'm not in any way having a discussion with a leftist about free speech, bro.
No.
You guys hated free speech when you thought you had the whip hand.
Yeah.
When you thought it was our guys getting in trouble and your guys were forever going to be pushing at the open door.
The future was yours.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, exactly. When you felt the wind in your sails, you laughed at, you know, these people who posted stickers. And I mean, literally back in 2020 or 2022 or whatever it was. It wasn't even that long ago. I remember.
Lucy Connolly.
Yeah, Lucy Connolly. Exactly.
Yep.
Like another great example where it's like, look, man. Like, you don't care about free speech. You wanted us criminalized, prosecuted, prescribed. You've been in favor of this the whole time. So, you know, there's a bit in The Office where Dwight's standing there and then the woman turns up at his elbow and is like, ugh, right? And people meme that to be like, you know, me doing something and then, you know, someone I don't like saying, yes, I agree. This is very much that, right? I don't want you guys on my side. I don't like you. what I don't want is for Keir Starmer to have such free reign just saying, no, I've decided that this abstract thing that isn't really very harmful is also terrorism, and this is terrorism, and a bunch of old people are terrorism. And now, oh my God, you posted some stickers. Well, is Sam Melia a terrorist now?
Yeah.
You know, he could be him tomorrow, right? So it's got to stop. Anyway, we are out of time, so thank you very much for joining us, folks.
Thank you.
Sign up to the website, helps keep the lights on, and we will see you tomorrow.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No